Welcome everyone to Dynamic Health. Yes, it's a program about health. And my name is Carl Luskin. I'm sitting in for Croft Woodruff, who is taking a few weeks off, well-deserved. And in the studio today, we have, in the control room, we have John Pranger, turning the switches and knobs there. Thank you very much, John, always being ready for us. And also in the studio today, we're going to be covering the whole hour of something that is tremendously important on my agenda, and I think increasingly we're being confronted with, and that is electromagnetic fields. And the expert to speak about that is Milt Bowling. He's a consultant about electromagnetic fields, and he's also an advocate for good health. So welcome to Dynamic Health.
Thanks, Carl.
And, well, you used a phrase here which was uncommon for me, but you said everybody uses it, and it's called electronic smog. And so we're being pervaded by this kind of electronic influences all the time. What do you mean by electronic smog?
Well, people throughout the world are referring to it as electrosmog. And what that means is that we're being inundated with man-made electromagnetic fields that our bodies and really all living things have never evolved with. So it's a superimposition on our individual electromagnetic fields, our personal fields, that we are being forced to adapt to, and we have no capability of that adaptation.
Now, many of them, they involve conveniences and make life easier in many ways, and so people readily take to these devices. Which do you think are probably the most ones that need to be dealt with from an electromagnetic field?
Well, I guess first and foremost, just with the explosive growth of cell phones, you've got the cell phones and you've got the cellular towers around the world that make those phones work. Never before in history have we held a radiating device right up to our heads. And I'd like to point out to people that try to minimize concern, I guess, about cell phones is that if you put a cell phone inside a microwave oven and go to another phone and actually dial up that cell phone inside the oven, it'll actually ring. So what that means is that the signal has been transmitted through the air from a cell tower maybe a mile away or whatever, goes through the you know, trees, the walls of a building, perhaps through your body, to pierce the shielding of a microwave oven to make that phone work. So that's how strong that signal is. And if you think that you're holding that cell phone actually 1 inch from your brain, that's a pretty powerful effect on your body.
Now, I had a friend from the Ron Andrews Center, and she said to me, she was talking on the phone, on the cell phone, and she turned on her microwave, and she heard all this crackling on her cell phone, and when she walked further distant from the microwave oven, that the crackling sound went away. What do you think was happening there?
Well, microwave ovens leak, and I know when I go to somebody's house with various meters to measure various types of fields, you can often pick up the leakage in another room in somebody's. So when they have their microwave oven on, you can be affected, you know, whatever, a couple dozen feet away sometimes.
My concern would be for people who work in restaurants, and they would be continuously confronted with something. How often do these the owners of the fast food restaurants, or any restaurant for that matter, even the high end, they all use microwaves. What do you think? Are these people checking to see whether there's leakage there?
I would doubt that very much. I think in Canada we're very slack. I know in California I've been told that they actually have little warning signs when you go into a restaurant, so that if you know you're a pregnant woman, as one example, you'd want to avoid a restaurant that used microwaves. But I don't use a microwave oven. I wouldn't knowingly want to eat food that's been heated in a microwave oven. The microwave oven works on the principle of friction, and the signal oscillates back and forth at just under 2.5 billion times a second. So as the molecules go one way and then the other way, one way and then the other way, almost 2.5 billion times a second, that friction of the water molecules and fat molecules is actually what heats up the food. But it also shreds the nutrient content of the food.
By what percentage would you think? I mean, we're altering the molecules of the food we put in the microwave oven. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
wow, I mean that's incredible.
I know.
I mean, I'm altering the food in such an unnatural way, and well, then I'm consuming it. What's it doing to me?
Well, the original studies by Hertel and Blanc showed about whatever decade ago, more than that, I guess now, showed that when rats ingested the food, they had very adverse health effects, up to the point of some of them died. So they were, of course, attacked by the industry, and their scientific careers were ruined.
So they had to resign because the industry took over, and the media does not, the lie is in what it's not being told.
Yeah, that's right.
So now we've taken a wave from, I mean, a lot of this is coming from the upper stratospheres, from satellites, the cell phones, the microwave that's in the microwave oven comes from a rare wave that's found in the upper stratosphere, and what do we do to it?
Well, maybe I should just explain a bit for listeners about what an electromagnetic field is. If you plug in a lamp, and before you turn it on, there's an electric field created. Now, as soon as you turn the lamp on, the electricity moves, and when electricity moves through a conductor, it creates a magnetic field around it. Now, as the frequencies get higher, the two fields couple together, so they become an electromagnetic field, and then the higher up you go, it becomes radiation and actually radiates out from a source.
Okay, and now...
Did that help you or confuse you?
I have to see it in writing. We're speaking with Milt Bowling, and he's a consultant on electromagnetic fields. What a privilege to have him here. And give us the lowdown on not only microwave ovens. And, I know we'll deal with later in the program. I hope everybody stay tuned for this really important issue. Is when I first read about microwave ovens, and I was so convinced that this was something that when they came into existence, how long have they been on the market now? 20 years?
Yeah, at least.
And they're so cheap. So and you save energy too when you use these. I mean, as opposed to heating it. I was so convinced about the adverse effects of this most unnatural method of preparing your food that I wanted to smash, crash, destroy, and never eat any food from a microwave oven again.
Do you think
I was being a little bit over the top?
I don't have a microwave oven. I don't use a microwave oven, like I said. I would think that people are getting more of an exposure from other things. I mean, a microwave oven, we've already discussed, is a health concern and an ingestion of food concern. My concern more is what people are around more often than a microwave oven. That would be a cell phone. That would be maybe a clock radio beside their bed. There are a number of, household appliances other than a microwave oven that they all give, anything that's plugged into the wall gives off an electromagnetic field. My concern, I guess, is more about Well, really, the cell phone, what's happening now, people, even as I've mentioned about the analogy with putting that inside a microwave oven to show how powerful that signal is, people are using that phone, you know, hours and hours on end. And studies now are showing that that has adverse effects. People who've used a phone for longer than 10 years have a doubling of acoustic neuroma, which is a benign tumor of the inner ear, and that it sounds, you know, easy that it's benign, but it can also be life-threatening. And if they measured also which side the tumor was on, and it turned out that it was a side that was where you use your cell phone, that was four times more likely with that tumor. And what's concerning about that, the acoustic neuroma particularly, is that it's a marker tumor for other tumors to come. And generally solid tumors take 10, 20 or more years to grow and to show. So what that is showing is that it's a marker for other tumors. There's recent studies in Sweden this year that show that both by a scientist named Leonard Hardell, that show that both non-malignant and malignant tumors are increased the longer a person uses a phone. They're using a 10-year cutoff, but because the cell phone hasn't been out for all that long, there hasn't been a lot of study done, but the results of the studies that are coming in now are very frightening.
Now in Japan, they don't allow people to use cell phones on the train. So, I mean, because that of the people you're around with could be affected by it.
Well, it's like secondhand smoke, that's for sure. And I know when I'm on the SkyTrain here, I had a high frequency meter that I turned on inside the SkyTrain here, and that thing just chirped the whole time, because you can, if you have a meter, you can stand next to somebody and walk backwards away from them, and you can still pick up the fields from one particular cell phone for like 10 feet away, 12 feet away. Well, if you're in a cigar tube with 20 other people and they're all talking on a cell phone, all that radiation bounces around inside. It's like a reverse Faraday cage. It bounces around inside the vehicle and just accumulates. It's like using a cell phone inside your car as well. It does the same thing. I see people talking on the cell phone all the time with the little children in car seats, and I just wonder what the long-term implications of that are.
Now, in England, they've recommended that teenagers, what's it doing to the young people?
Well, that's most frightening, is that because young people are replacing cells more often, and also their skulls are smaller, their skulls act like a resonance chamber for the microwaves. And if there's a series of famous pictures on the internet that by Om Gandhi that show an adult, show a teenager, and show a child with the radiation coming into their brain from their ear. And the child's radiation actually almost goes to the other side of their head, the red readings that are dangerous readings. I guess another problem with children using it is they have a longer expected usage. I mean, if you're 90 years old, you're not going to be using a cell phone for the next 60 years. But if you're 8 years old, chances are you are, for sure. And the concern out there is that, you know, as the science continues to evolve and as the problems continue to be shown, we are in for an epidemic that we've never seen before on the planet. And we are in danger of actually losing a generation.
Now, the number one tumor amongst children in Australia used to be leukemia, and now it's been overtaken by brain tumors. Do you add any significance to that?
Well, that's I'll just give you an example of the Disney Corporation. Disney Corporation years ago said that they wouldn't allow their characters to be used to market to children for cell phones. And just recently, they made an arrangement with, and they turned down millions of dollars for that. But then recently, they made an arrangement with Sprint in the United States on a $2 billion contract. And now they are actively marketing cell phones to kids. I just think that's obscene.
Now, I've seen these figures of how much these children are talking on the cell phones per month. I find it staggering, but almost unbelievable.
Well, yeah, it is for sure. There's research that shows that cumulative 2,000 minutes
per month.
Can cause major problems. And in the study that was out was 500 minutes a month. So that's just about 15 minutes a day showing problems. So there was a study done in Buffalo, New York, about a year ago, it seems to me, where the average teenager there was using the phone for 2,600 minutes a month. That's, so when you extrapolate these...
Average,
yeah. So when you extrapolate these figures, over a period of time, and you relate those to the number of people in the scientific studies who develop these tumors, they're saying that right now they can directly attribute about 50,000 brain tumors, cancers of the brain and of the eye, directly to cell phone use. And by 2010, as this trend continues, there could be between 300,000 and 500,000 cases a year.
Now, already in the United States, they're a particularly litigious group, and I believe that there's already some lawsuits happening about tumors and brain cells happening in California.
That's right. There's about half a dozen suits that are going on right now that were sent from the federal level to the state level. And those should be taking place in the fall, I think. And, according to my sources, at least a couple of them should be successful, in which case... the wireless industry, because they can't get insurance to cover health effects from cell phones, they have to be self-insured. Well, as you just mentioned, litigious in the United States, that is going to be millions and then billions of dollars, and the cell phone industry is certainly going to be adversely impacted. And I think, from what I've heard, they're going to be looking to governments to bail them out. So that's really why people like me, who are advocates trying to get this information out to the public, the industry doesn't want to know, and the government doesn't want to know, because it's billions of dollars, and they just keep, they keep in denial. But they're in a little corner now, and they can't get out of. So it's going to be very interesting to see over the next 6 months to a year.
People get to live with cell phones, cannot do without them. They have adverse effects in the long term on children and adults, and the government will bail out the industry.
Well, that's when you think about the investments of pension plans and mutual funds and other investments that are heavily invested into the wireless industry, it's going to have great, huge sociological implications.
Now, we're speaking with, you're listening to Dynamic Health. We're listening to Milt Bowling, and so we're going to find some solutions to all of this a little bit later on, but you're going to be speaking in Vancouver fairly soon, so maybe you can tell us about that and why people should come out to that.
Sure, thanks, Carl. I've been invited to speak this Friday, I think that's the 26th, is it?
Yep.
26th, at 7:30. In downtown Vancouver at the Hyatt Regency at Burrard in Georgia. I'm not going to be speaking for a long time there, probably about 15 or 20 minutes, and then there's product presentations by a company who's hired me to speak, which, you know, should also be of interest to people. And I will be there ongoing to answer questions after the talk. So if people want more information about that, they can phone 604-761-6095. I think it's also on a website. You could go to www.mybiopro.ca /silentpower.
Maybe repeat that web page there.
MyBioPro, that's MYBIOPRO.ca /silentpower. And the phone number, once again, is 604-761-6095. So they'll have a, like, I'll give a talk, and then they'll have some questions and answers.
We're not going to be having any call-ins today, unfortunately, because we're not set up with it in the studio at this time with the reorganization. I know many people would like to phone in, but they will have an opportunity to speak to you and address their concerns. But we're speaking with Milt Bowling, even electrical current can be a problem. I've been told that one shouldn't have wires going behind your bed where you're sleeping, and which of course emphasizes the electrosmog. How much more so cell phones are a problem. But tell us about where we should be sleeping, and if it's a problem, even having wires running behind your head, behind your bed.
Sure, Carl. Thanks. It's not just the high frequency pollution from cell towers and cell phones, but also just your regular household electricity and electrical environment. Where you sleep at night is very important. And you should check it out. When I go to a person's house and check out their home, I see clock radios and other electrical devices right either on the headboard or on a night table right beside where somebody sleeps. Well, when I put a meter to those things, some of those things go right off the scale, and I'll put the meter on a person's pillow and say, like, listen to this. What people have to realize is that the fields drop off exponentially with distance. So twice as far away is four times less. Four times as far away is 16 times less. So if you just move your clock radio, like mine, I have it on the other end of my bedroom on a bureau, and I can still read it in the middle of the night if I wake up or something like that. But it's not right next to my head.
Now, Milt, you've mentioned a clock. But what would you consider to be the most, probably giving off the most electro field there that we should try and avoid?
Well,
which gadgets?
Well, clock radios by the bed are bad because your
how
body...
How close?
I would say it should be at least half a dozen feet away. It depends on the radio, too. Some of them give off huge fields. But the if you can get it further away, your body is supposed to heal itself at night. That's when your pineal gland releases melatonin, and it goes through your bloodstream like a Pac-Man and cleans up free radicals. Well, if you're getting subject to electromagnetic fields, you're not getting the melatonin that you would normally get, and it's not cleaning toxins from your blood, and therefore it's stressing your immune system.
What about televisions?
Well, they give off a lot of fields, particularly the ones that are the instant on.
What is instant on?
Well, there are fields that, TVs that you turn on, it takes a while to crank back up to get them to get the picture tube to come on, but there are others that just come on instantly. So they're kind of basically on all the time. I was at a couple's home. They had a young child that had cancer, and I called them up and said, you don't know me from Adam, but I'd like to come out. There's some people at a course here this weekend that have lots of testing equipment. Have you ever looked at the thought that it might have something to do with electromagnetic fields, which promote cancer? And they were glad that we went out and had a look. And when we got there, there's this little boy bald head because he'd been going through the radiation and the chemo, sitting at the Chesterfield in front of this huge television set. And he was like an arm's length from the TV. I said, well, you know, that's not a very good idea. You know, sit back.
So close.
Your mother was right years back when she said, sit back from the television set.
You know, we didn't have TV where I lived for my first 26 years of my life. So we were blessed from Africa, of course.
Lucky for you.
But we also have this technology of the remote. So what technology is that? I mean, you're clicking this.
That's infrared.
That's on all the time. It must be a little red light on there. And when you press your remote to click it on, it connects.
Yeah, that's that's not so bad. I wouldn't be too concerned about that, really. It's just what you're exposed to on a regular basis. When people use a cell phone, they should think that when it gives off the highest field is when it's making the connection. So if you punch in the numbers for your cell phone, I see this happen all the time, and then people press send, and then they put the phone right up to their head, right then and there. Well, that's when it's giving off the highest signal, trying to connect to the tower somewhere. So what you want to do is count one Mississippi, two Mississippi, five Mississippi, or whatever before you put it up, so it makes its connection first. It also microwaves have an affinity to metal, and they have an affinity to water. So that's why Rodney Dangerfield, when he complained that he got no respect from his parents, he said the only two bath toys he ever got from his parents were a toaster and a hairdryer. So. You want to, if you've just had a shower and your hair is wet, you don't want to be holding a cell phone next to your head. You don't want to be holding a cell phone next to your head any which way. You want to use an earbud, and you want to use an earbud that's actually got an earpiece in it, because research in the UK showed that all metal wire going from your cell phone to your head can actually transmit more radiation into your head than if you just have a handheld unit.
You're listening to Dynamic Health on Co-op Radio, your community-based and community-sponsored radio station. We're speaking with Milt Bowling. He's a consultant about electromagnetic fields. And when we come back, we're going to ask Milt about computer monitors, and of course also, what is it those towers that they're putting on top of these buildings, these high-rises, and what is it in it for us? And over to John Pranger in the control room, and maybe an announcement and a little spot of music.
Co-op Radio's Animal Voices is presenting the second annual Animal Voices Film Festival. 2 days of stimulating films celebrating the glory of the animal kingdom, exploring the thinking and feeling side of farm animals, and showing the impact that modern corporate-run factory farms have on the lives of farmed animals and you, the consumer.
These films could change your life. The Animal Voices Film Festival will also include live music, speakers, and healthy food, plus a presentation by farmer and political activist Howard Lyman, premiering the film The Mad Cowboy.
At the H.R. McMillan Space Center Planetarium in Kitsilano, starting 1 p.m. on Saturday, June 3rd, and starting 3 p.m. on Sunday, June 4th.
Day passes are a nominal $6 and $5 for Co-op Radio members. See animalvoices.org/filmfest for more details.
As her hair came down among the fields of gold.
Yes, you are listening to Dynamic Health coming to you on CFRO Radio 102.7 FM. John Pranger is in the control room. Milt Bowling is here, and he's given us such a host of facts and figures. And I'm going to ask you to just tell us a recap a little bit of what you said in the last half an hour, and then we'll go on to some new topics.
Thanks, Carl. I guess what I'd like people to know, and you get so much information you don't want to confuse people, but I'd like people to know that if you can minimize the effects by minimizing your exposure, that would be the first thing to do. So if you have a choice between using a cell phone and a landline, then use a landline. Don't use a cordless phone either. They're as bad or worse as a cell phone. Also, just be aware of your surroundings. I mean, if you're... Various products that we use every day give off electromagnetic fields. Your stove does. I mean, if you're standing there and you're a pregnant woman and you're doing a stir fry on your electric stove and you're using the front element, you can still use the same stove but use the back element. You're further distant from it, and the fields, as I mentioned, drop off exponentially. So just try to minimize your exposure and also be aware of not just your own but that of your loved one and your children, for sure.
Now, we can buy a meter to check how these are. It's got a strange name. Maybe you can
tell
us.
Yeah, you can get a Gauss meter that is very helpful to measure the magnetic field your household exposure. It's Gauss, G-A-U-S-S. You can, if you go on the internet, you can go to Less EMF. I think it's lessemf.org or .com. You can check that out anyway. And they have various meters for various frequencies. And just an introductory Gauss meter is like $50. But it's very, very handy to use. In fact, I used it on the SkyTrain one day, too. I was at another interview downtown, and all the way back, I had to take the battery out of the thing because it wouldn't shut up. It just, because of the magnetics that are involved with the SkyTrain as well. Also, I measured a couple's home who were on the bus route for the trolley buses, and their bedroom particularly was really high because there were three transformers on a pole right outside their, like, 15 feet or so from their bedroom wall, which gave off high fields. But where the meter went right off the scale was every time a trolley bus went by. It just created more of a field.
I had a friend who came to check out my house, and so she walked up the stairs, And as she was walking up the stairs, the Gauss meter, I guess that's what it was, started buzzing like crazy. So I said, oh, well, that's got to be ridiculous. It's got to be something wrong. I mean, this is faulty. This is. We went into the downstairs, into the basement, and sure, the hot water tank was right underneath the stairs.
Oh yeah. Well, people, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not affecting you. An electromagnetic field will go through 10 feet of concrete without slowing down at the speed of light. I mean, there's no barrier for the magnetic part of the electromagnetic field. You can shield some from the electrical field part of it, but a magnetic field will go through, like I say, 10 feet of concrete. So when hydro companies are talking about burying their power lines, there's one that's we're having a difference of opinion with a hydro company here now, and they want to bury a transmission line, a high-powered transmission line, right in people's backyard. So rather than having it 60 feet over your head, it can be like 6 feet under your feet, so it's even closer. So it might, you know, be good from an aesthetic point of view, but it certainly isn't from a health perspective.
Wow, and that's surprising. Putting it underground doesn't make any difference.
Well, no, not really, except that it's closer. And also, there depends what else is underground. If there's water streams or I've measured, go to people's home and go out in their yard and with meters and, you know, walk through the center of their yard and the meter's still going off, and go out to the street and it's still going off. And it's the whole either water line or sewage line is all electrified. So that goes throughout the whole neighborhood. So if your neighbors have treadmills that give off a lot of high-frequency pollution, that travels on both the wiring that comes into your house as well as the plumbing that it's usually grounded to. So you can protect yourself by using what's called a dielectric coupler and, you know, have a plumber come in and you know, it's got to dig up a bit of your yard, but dig it up over your pipe. And instead of having the metal pipe all the way through into your house, have a piece of plastic pipe inserted in there. So that breaks the circuit, so you don't get all your neighbors' pollution, electrical pollution coming into your place.
Now, that means also in condominiums where you have one unit next to another, I mean, the walls are only maybe a foot thick.
Yeah.
Well, what's on the other side?
Yeah, that's right. And you want to get to know your neighbors because, you know, if they've got a great big television set or something like that on the other side of your bedroom wall, and you're sleeping there where they're on shift work and they're watching television all night.
You can't hear it, but the waves are coming through the wall.
Yeah, same with a computer or anything else.
Now, where does one get a Gauss meter, G-A-U-S-S meter, or a dielectric what is it, coupler?
Well, you can talk to a plumber about a dielectric coupler. Meters you can get, there's a company in Ottawa called Essentia, E-S-S-E-N-T-I-A, I think it is. You can Google that, because I'm not sure, I didn't bring their number
it's
with me.
It's called a dielectric coupler.
Yes. And then also you could check out, I think it's lessemf.com or .org in the States. It also has different kinds of meters.
Now, you're going to be speaking in Vancouver, and of course we're not having a phone-in today, which we usually have on the program, because they're reorganizing the control room here. So we regret people can't phone in, but they will have an opportunity to meet many of these people. I'm familiar with Sun Wolf as well, and he's a wonderful person, sends out emails. But
yeah.
You're going to be speaking here on Friday at Hyatt Regency.
Yeah, that's right. And for people in the greater Vancouver area, that's at Burrard in Georgia. I'm going to be speaking there at 7:30. And then the company that has asked me to speak, they're going to be presenting their products. And then I'll be around afterwards, as I was the last time, for an hour or so. It's amazing how many people, you know, the more you say, the more questions come into people's minds, which is probably what's going to happen after this program as well.
So you're going to be only one of a number of speakers.
Well, I'll be the featured speaker. I'll be the featured speaker on the health effects, and then there'll be another person speaking on this company's products.
John has a question.
Hey, what about sitting on a trolley bus? How does that affect you? I know when I have my radio on the AM frequency, is impossible to hear, but FM you can hear clearly, whereas the AM is completely distorted.
Yeah, the AM is more in the frequency range. So that's another thing. If you don't have a Gauss meter...
Let's just repeat that question where it didn't come through on the microphone.
Oh, okay.
Right. Just repeat the question, Milt.
I'll repeat it. When you're sitting on a bus and you listen to an AM/FM radio, portable radio, you get tremendous distortion from the trolleys themselves. You can hear it, the driver accelerating, but FM isn't affected. Now, what about the driver and what about the people who ride the buses?
Well, I'm not sure what if there's ever been an epidemiological study done on trolley bus drivers, but you brought up a good point, John, that if people have an AM radio, that can function like a Gauss meter as well. You can take an AM radio around your home and see where it's interfered with, and you can where it's the signal is interfered with. That obviously has got competing electromagnetic field. It's a good point.
Now, we promised the listeners that we would talk computers here. And are people still using many of the old computers? What are the new ones? Is this an improvement, the flat screens?
Yes, most of them. Some of them still give off a field, I was told by a researcher, a friend of mine. But by and large, they're a lot better than the old style. And that was my first experience with the concern about electromagnetic fields. I sold for a multinational company in the 70s, and we were selling the early versions of the computers. And some of my clients, the pregnant ones, were using the lead shielding that you'd get at a dentist. They were using that while they were typing using these early computers. And, people were criticizing them as being, kind of off the wall or whatever. But I didn't at all. I thought, well, you're better safe than sorry, and you're better to take precautions and be sorry later on. So now the if you're at an old-style monitor, you should have your keyboard as far away from your computer as you can get and still be able to read the monitor, of course, and sit back from your computer. I see people, leaning with their elbow and, their face just about touching the computer screen. You don't want to do that.
Now, the difference between, you said it's a big improvement, the new flat screens and the old monitors.
Right.
So what are we looking at here, percentage? Would you say to people who are using the old monitors to deep six them?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, get a flat screen. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What percentage less radiation here?
It's a lot. Some of the meters don't even make a noise when you're with those now. The ones that I've checked, that's been the case. Yeah, for sure.
Plus, I bought a flat screen, and I found that it's easier on my eyes as well.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's the LED, of course, not... not your standard flat screen. It's an LED screen.
Yeah. Light emitting diode. Yeah, right.
Yeah, because there are still flat screens that are not that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Some of them are good and some of them are not. I guess what I wanted to cover off at this session is just how we're being protected by our government, or I guess to the converse, we're not being protected by our government. In Canada, we have what's called Safety Code 6 with Health Canada. And Safety Code 6 really says that unless the radiation cooks you, it doesn't hurt you. it's based solely on heat. So over a six-minute period, if your whole body is not increased in temperature by 1 degree Celsius, then there in effect is no effect, according to the government. And that's just bizarre. The studies that have been out for the last, well, really since world, there's some go back to World War II, that show that non-thermal effects are the adverse effects that are going to harm people. So we're working with people around the world to get the regulations to be changed to accommodate those facts.
So Health Canada, once again, and protecting not the people but the industry, we've seen so much of it with the Food Guide, which they had hearings on that. And on Health Canada with the industry, would you say that the industry has an influence, a very direct interest in the Safety Six, as you mentioned here?
Well, it does right all the way up to the World Health Organization. If you go on microwavenews.com, you'll see some information there on the head person for the radiation part of the World Health Organization. And, you know, he's admitted to taking $150,000 U.S. from the industry for expenses. Well, you know, that's a major conflict of interest. There are conflicts of interest. But, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I think that if you're an industry and you want to, you know, hire scientists to do research, you want them to find the results that you want them to find. And that's the case. When I read of a study in the newspaper, the very first thing I look at is who paid for it. And that that tells you a lot about what the results are going to be, that's for sure. But speaking of the World Health Organization, IARC, which is International Association for Radiation Research, anyway, it's a subset of the World Health Organization, they class electromagnetic fields as a class 2B carcinogen, which is a possible human carcinogen. And you think, well, possible, that doesn't sound very bad at all. But when you think of some other 2B carcinogens that they've got there, welding fumes, engine exhaust, chloroform, vinyl acetate, polybrominated biphenyls, that's none of those you'd want for breakfast. So,
right. Now, Health Action Network, a wonderful organization, HANS, in Burnaby, their big issue was irradiated food and make people aware of how much of our food's being irradiated. So what's happening there?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Health Action Network Society. People can go to www.hands.org as well and check out information on their website. It's a great website. When you irradiate food, like what they're saying is it'll make it healthier for people and to prevent fecal matter from, you know, being a problem in meat. But the thing is, if they irradiate the fecal matter, it's still fecal matter. I'm sorry, that's not part of what, you know, I want in my diet. So, you know, cleanliness is first. But when you irradiate that, it's several hundred times higher than a chest x-ray. I think it's like 300,000 times higher than a chest x-ray. So, you know, what are they doing to that food? I mean, they're killing it deader than dead.
So let's just get the lowdown on this. What's happening in the slaughterhouses is that with chickens and beef, often these the intestines are ruptured,
yeah,
and the fecal matter gets splashed all over the flesh of the animal, which people are consuming,
yeah,
and it's given rise to all kinds of E. coli, Salmonella, and all kinds of diseases which are pretty insidious. And then to destroy the bacteria, we're irradiating the food,
yeah,
but what is it doing to the food?
Yeah. Well, that's right.
And Health Canada is promoting that together with the nuclear industry.
Yeah. Yeah,
do we have faith in our system? Is it working for the average person?
Well, I don't think so. I think that's why it takes citizen advocates and you know, people that are the type of people that listen to this radio program. Is that you know, rather than sitting complaining, you've got to get out and do something. That's just
now,
the way it is.
Now you have been going out there and doing something and becoming informed, but you had a major victory in the Abbotsford area with the SE2, as it's called, the power line. So
yeah,
just recap on that, because I congratulate you on what you did.
Well, thanks. There were a lot of people. There were, you know, for the National Energy Board of Canada, there were more people out opposed to that project than anything in the history of the National Energy Board. But we submitted thousands of pages of scientific study to the National Energy Board.
What was the project?
It was a power plant that was designed to be in conjunction with a huge power line that was going to go through a residential area of Abbotsford. So, the reason it was going to be shipped to Abbotsford, rather than, it was in the United States, and rather than sending that power down to Oregon and California, where it was destined, the people of Whatcom County in Washington State had passed an ordinance, I think in 1993, banning transmission lines that powerful from going through residential areas. So they couldn't put it through Whatcom County. So what they did was they made an arrangement to wheel that electricity up through a transmission line through Abbotsford, hook it up to the BC hydro grid, and then sent back through the hydro grid back to California. So if it wasn't good enough for the people of Whatcom County, it certainly wasn't good enough for the people of Abbotsford. So we rallied up. We had hundreds of people out there, and that was defeated.
But it wasn't only the electromagnetic problem. It was also a gigantic pollution thing in the Fraser Valley, where, of course, the air doesn't flow that easily out of it.
Well, I think they were putting something like 250 tons of toxins into the Fraser Valley airshed every day. So,
and why did the United States or Washington State decide to build it right there, how many miles from the Canadian border?
Well, it was meters from the Canadian border. It wasn't miles.
Why,
it was just
why
meters.
Why would they do that? I mean,
well, it was convenient to get it to get the electricity to Canada to then wheel it back through our regular network back to the States. So, the closer they got it to the Canadian border, the less expensive it would be to circumvent the health concern, legitimate health concerns of the people of Whatcom County, and send that electricity to Canada.
How many years of your life did it take to defeat this construction project?
Well, I'm not sure. I think we started in about 1999. Like, I've been at this whole thing about electromagnetic field since 1997, when my son's elementary school in Vancouver was going to have 9 microwave transmitters put on their roof for a cell phone network. I did my research on that. I was very concerned. That's my only son. I'm not having more children. And I said to people at that time that if I wanted a guinea pig, I'd have gone to the pet store. That's my child, and you're not going to do that. But then we won that fight as well, and it was in all the newspapers and TV and everything else. And then about a week later, another cell phone company donated a cross to the church right next door to the school, and they hid inside that cross microwave transmitters for their cell phone network. So I couldn't believe that they did that. But when they did that, I took them to the Board of Variance of the City of Vancouver, and I personally appealed their building and development permit. And they brought out radio frequency engineers and experts, actually the scientists who wrote Health Canada Safety Code, and we debated in front of the Board of Variance, and I won a unanimous decision that had to come down. I think that was the first in North America, actually, where a tower that was actually up was forced to come down.
Now, one doesn't do this on one's own. Well, you had a lot of public support here, but people need to become informed, and that's a slow process.
Well, that's right. I've been, I've been giving talks really all over the place, and Robert and Birgit Bateman actually bought my computer system for me for my home, because they backed me in my fight, and I've been raising public awareness. You know, obviously, that's when you do things like this, it's a great personal expense. I mean, it cost you a fortune to do that, and you know, you could be doing something else that's a lot more economically productive. But
now I want to get back to the TV thing, the flat screens and the old TVs. Which type of TV is given off? We got these different types of TVs now, the big screens and stuff, which are
you want to get distance. You just want to get distance, Carl. I was out at
what distance?
Well, it depends on the TV. Some of those huge, big TVs, I've measured people's places where there's nowhere in the room where you can get far enough away. So they're you know, radiating themselves all the time that they're watching television. It's amazing. But still, I just reemphasize that it's distance is what you have to worry about.
Now, what's happening all over is that with cell phones, they only have these transmitters only have a certain range, so they have to put up, like you mentioned here, that right next to the school, they're putting up transmitters.
So they're putting them up all over the place, but they're putting them up in my opinion, in the wrong places. They shouldn't be anywhere near schools. They shouldn't be in residential areas. They shouldn't be near a daycare. They shouldn't be near old folks' homes, because if you're using a cell phone, you have a choice. You can hang it up. You can't hang up a cell tower. That's radiating 24 hours a day. Now, the industry says that there's no problem, and our government says that there's no problem. But really, there's only been about half a dozen studies worldwide that have studied the effects of radiation from cellular antenna on people, and all of those studies show harm. So there isn't one study that shows safety of any sort whatsoever. So the studies show that within several hundred meters of a cell tower, you have effects like nausea, short and long term memory loss. People get nosebleeds that never had a nosebleed before in their life until the transmitters were turned on. Migraine headaches. Another one is sudden wakefulness in the middle of the night. 3 in the morning, 2 or 3 in the morning, people bang, they're wide awake and they wonder why from the tower. Insomnia is a big problem, but it's not just that. It's the sudden wakefulness where you wake out of a deep sleep. Also ringing in the ears. That's big now. When the transmitters are turned on, people's ears start ringing and they say, well, I've got tinnitus. I'm just getting older and I've got tinnitus. Well, no, it's microwave hearing, which is scientifically established as well.
Now, how can people look out for these antennas? They can be hidden in the way in which people don't see them.
Well, they are hidden. If you can go on to Gecko Beach, a gecko like the little lizard, GECKO, Gecko Beach, I think it's .com, and you can check out that site as far as what cellular towers look like and also where they're located.
Now, we have exactly 1 minute left here, or less than a minute, and we really appreciate you being here. We're speaking with Milt Bowling. He's a consultant on electromagnetic fields. Over to you for about 35 seconds.
Well, thanks, Carl. Just, to wrap up is that if you think that the cell phone industry can't get insurance and insurance companies are based on assessing long-term risk and putting a financial number on it, then that's got to be a telling message. There are also exclusions in insurance for around the transmitters as well. If they go to my website, cleanenergycanada.com, they can communicate with me there, and I can help communities. I can give talks to their communities and also to their city halls.
And you'll be at the Hyatt Regency, Hyatt?
Friday, it's at 7:30.
Which Hyatt is that?
At Georgia and Burrard in downtown Vancouver.
Thank you, Milt Bowling, and thank you, John Panger, for being on our at the controls here. My name is Carl Luskin. I'm sitting in for Croft Woodruff. Thank you for listening. Mm-hmm.